Good morning. It's an incredible privilege to be here with all of you this morning. It was worth it just because now I get to add to my resume a spokesperson for humanity. So that I'm very excited about. I'm going to tell my wife as soon as I get home as well.
You still have to take out the
gun. It's true. It's not going to help me at all. But okay. But thank you. Thank you. And I have to say I'm overwhelmed. I always knew that Beth Tfilah was a very large communal institution, but I did not realize just the size and the scope. And it is so beautiful that all of you are here today. And I'm sure it's a robust program, and it's a privilege just to share with you for a couple of minutes some thoughts and reflections on the current situation in Israel. You know, Dr. Schwartz said so eloquently that sometimes we have to try to think about and talk about issues devoid of politics. And I, for one, have always tried to do that. And I think one of the greatest challenges that we encounter today contemporarily, pretty much in everything, is the inability to divorce things from politics. Because everything has political ramifications. Everything. A war in Israel has political ramifications. Anti-Semitism has political ramifications. But in line kind of with the goal this morning, I'd like to kind of zero out a little bit and to think about just for a few minutes, you know, what we as educators are supposed to do with this current situation. 100 days ago, and it's overwhelming to think about, 100 days. You know, I know that on October 7th, and for many of us, the beginning of this war was incredibly confusing because, again, the war started here in America, Shabbos morning, it was Shmini Atzeres, and for many of us, we were dealing with a complete information blackout until Sunday evening. And I think many of us, when this entire war began, we thought to ourselves, okay, Israel always deals with stuff. How long is it going to go on for? 2 days, 3 days, a week, maybe a month. And it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming to see that now we are at the 100-day mark. And it's overwhelming to see that the stakes are only getting higher. When we look at what's happening now in the International Court of Justice, when we look at what's happening now in our own country, of which we are such proud citizens, the United States of America, it's overwhelming. It really is overwhelming. And sometimes it's hard to figure out what it is that we are supposed to do with this situation. Now, there's a beautiful Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah Ethics of Our Fathers says the following. This is chapter 2, Mishnah 2. A simple, straightforward teaching. Contemplate or look at three things and you will not come to sin. What should you look at? Know what is above you. God awareness. If a person lives life with a sense of God awareness, recognizing that after 120, I'm answerable to a higher authority about how I lived my life, that hopefully will keep me on the straight and narrow. Know what is above me. Ayin roa, a watching eye. Ozen shoma'as, an attentive ear. And all of your deeds are recorded in the divine book. It's also a credible way to run your classroom. I tell your students there are three things: a watchful eye, an attentive ear, and everything is recorded. But on a humanity level, it's pretty profound. What the Mishnah is teaching us is that sometimes we go through life and we do things and we behave in ways and we think to ourselves, it doesn't really matter. It matters. Every single thing that we do matters. But the Baal Shem Tov says something so beautiful. The Baal Shem Tov, the father of the Hasidic movement, he interpreted the Mishnah a little bit differently. And he said, no, ayin roa ozen shomas. Whatever you see, God wants you to see it. And whatever you hear, God wants you to hear it. Nothing happens in this world randomly. Nothing is happenstance or haphazard. The experiences we undergo, the circumstances we have to live through, are all things that Hashem, that God wants us to experience. And as such, in our generation, God wanted us to experience October 7th. He wanted us to live through what is, for many of us, the worst atrocities committed against the Jewish people since the Holocaust. And as educators, and I include myself in that as I don't teach in a school, but thank God I'm privileged to. I did. That's true. I did teach here for a little bit as well. Cannot get anything past Dr. Shore. As educators, in all of our different ways, what do we do with this? What do we do with this? When we walk into our classrooms, you know, you don't have to bring every piece of current events into your class. But there are certain things that are so enormous There are certain things that are simply so overwhelming that you can't pretend like they don't exist. So what do we do with this? And now, the interesting part is, what do we do with this when we see two impressionable young minds? You know, I'm sure many of us had the challenge of talking about October 7th with our children. I mean, your biological children, right? Not your student children. Also your student children. And one of the most important things when you speak to young people, children, about the events of October 7th is to, on one hand, be real, but on the other hand, not to paint the picture that the sky is falling. Because the sky is not falling. The Jewish people have been around for a long time. And as we say at the Pesach Seder, Shebechol dar vadar omdim aleinu l'chalosinu. This is just another chapter in the sometimes tragic history, narrative, and destiny of our people. We'll make it to the other side of this, and we'll be stronger, and we'll be more robust. So the sky's not falling. The question is, what do we do with it? And I've been thinking a lot about this for the last 100 days, because it's easy just to check the news, and it's easy just to go ahead and kind of be well-informed of the current events, which is incredibly important. But what do we as, again, this is a room of Jews and non-Jews, and all of us, the community of humanity, what do we do with this? But I guess my perspective comes from one of a Jewish perspective. What do we do with this? So, of course, number one is the most startling part of October 7th is that anti-Semitism is alive and well. And I think for many of us who feel as proud citizens of the United States of America, you know, I'm a first-generation American. My mother was born in the DP camps after the war. And in my family, the gratitude for the United States of America knows no bounds. We are big Thanksgiving people. We are big Memorial Day people. Because what this country has given us, July 4th people, what this country has given us, the Jews have not known in diaspora. And so many of us thought that anti-Semitism was a footnote of the past. That rabid vitriol and hatred, no, that's not now. And dear friends, what do we see? The very colleges that you work so hard to get our students into, right? The very higher institutions of academics have become the very hotbeds of the most disgusting and vile hatred. Hatred that would not be tolerated for any other minority. Hatred that would not be tolerated for any other group. But somehow, Jewish lives are different. And it hurts to say it. And it feels so, I'll tell you, one of the overwhelming feelings that I have felt consistently since October 7th is a sense of loneliness. Profound loneliness and alienation. Not knowing who's my friend, who's not my friend. And to be clear, there are so many wonderful people. And it's always important to remember that the majority of humanity is just, is good, is beautiful, and is holy. But the voices of negativity and hate are so overwhelming. Anti-Semitism is alive and well, and it behooves us to acknowledge that and never to pretend it away, because that is dangerous. And I'll say, and this is probably, might not be the right thing to say, but I get to leave in 2 minutes. We really have to think very hard about where we're sending our kids to college. Why are we patronizing institutions that despise us? And why are we patronizing institutions where our own students feel unsafe? Why does the Jew perpetually feel the need to be accepted, ingratiated, and beloved by everyone? Maybe it's time to stop. Maybe it's time to recognize that no matter what we do, no matter what we contribute, no matter how much we give this country and the world, anti-Semitism, hatred is what it is. It's a wake-up call for us. Not a wake-up call, watch your back. Not a wake-up call, the sky's falling. But a wake-up call about what it means to be a Jew in America in 2024 and how it's not as easy as we thought just 100 days ago. And it's not so simple. And that has to shape our academic choices. That has to shape the institutions and the different movements that we support. And that has to shape the way we interact as part of the fabric of this greater country. That's number one. But let me just end off with a more positive part. As Dr. Shor said, I had the privilege to be in Israel twice over the last couple of months. Once was with a mission from the OU, the Orthodox Union, and then I just went with my family over Hanukkah. And we went over Hanukkah. You know, I will say we've been there for Hanukkah many times in the past. And as you can imagine, tourism is decimated. You know, everyone's focused on the war for the economic fallout and the economic damage. There's no one there. At least by Hanukkah time, there was no one there. Those of you who have visited Mamila, Israel, Jerusalem, you know, Mamila Mall, outdoor mall. Usually you have to wait in line to go for dinner. My wife and I, we had the entire restaurant to ourselves. Convenient, but heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. And one of the things that we did was try to do whatever we could to try to give chizuk, to try to give strength to the soldiers, to the residents who are there. It sounds strange that here we come from our comfortable lives in America and to give strength and to give chizuk. But we found that people took such strength in our visit that we decided to come. And I'll share with you just an overwhelming, there's so much I could share with you. I'll just share with you one story. One day I went to the border of Gaza, was without my wife and my daughters, and I went to an army base called Machane Re'im, the Re'im army base. The Re'im army base was the first army base overrun by Hamas on October 7th, overrun by Hamas. And the commander who was taking me around, he said, you know, if you see things being reconstructed, he said, it's not because we're decided to do additions. He said, everything you see being repaired here was destroyed on October 7th. It was overwhelming. And literally, again, this is 1 kilometer from the Gaza border. See, he introduced me to a group of soldiers. And this group of soldiers, they looked like my kids. Young enough, literally young enough to be my children. And I asked them their names. They said, we can't tell you. So I said, what is it that you do that you can't tell me? So what's incredible is this was the group that drills for tunnels. Their job, their reconnaissance unit, they originally deep into Gaza, and they have all of this sonar equipment, all of these drills, and they are literally the ones who drill for the Hamas, for the terrorist tunnels. And you look at these, and they're kids, and they're children. They're children. They're 18, 19, 21. The leader of the group, not the commander, but the leader of the group, was 22 years old. 22 years old. So we sat down, and they offered us coffee. It was terrible, the coffee, right? But I couldn't refuse. What am I supposed to do? They made coffee, so we had coffee. And I said to them, I said, like, how do you do this? Tell me what it is. Like, you put yourself in harm's way every single day. What is it that drives you? What is it that pushes you? And this young man, the commander of the group, he said something so amazing. He said when he was in officer training, his commander in officer training school said to him, every single day you have to ask yourself one question. Lama. Lama. Lama means why. Or for what. For what? Lama, lama, for what? In other words, what the commander was saying is when you get up in the morning, you have to ask yourself, why are you in this world? What's your purpose? And what are you going to accomplish? And he said to me, Kvod HaRav, he said, every morning my soldiers and I, we get up and we know exactly what our lama is. We know exactly what we have to do, how we have to do it, and why we need to do it. And if I were to tell you, the one dominant feature that you could sense anywhere you go in Israel now is a sense of unity, of purpose. There is a recognition that we are fighting against the worst evil humanity has seen. There is a recognition, I don't know if some of you saw, but Israel in preparation for its trial. Today, there's a big day of testimony. And the International Court of Justice just opened up a new website where all of the videos and all of the images that they did not publish, they put out. And I made the terrible mistake of looking at it last night. And it is overwhelming to see the evil that we are contending with. There is a lama. There is a purpose. And these young men, each and every day, they get up and they have a purpose. And dear friends, I think we have the same mission. What's our lama? You know, the world is different. And I really believe with all of my heart that the world is forever different. I think that there are certain events which change the trajectory of our world, of our lives, of our nation. And October 7th was one of them. And it's so easy to kind of just, you know, close the Times of Israel, Jerusalem Post, whatever you check your news on, and kind of go on in life. But we can't. We have a sacred mission. If, like the Baal Shem Tov said, if we are here in this world and we saw on October 7th, and our eyes saw things and our ears hear things, then we have an obligation to live differently. What is your lama? What is your why? As the Ramchal, the great rabbi, Moshe Chaim Litzato, asked in his introduction to Maseiach Yesharim, to Path of the Just, he says, Ma chovaso ba'olamo? What is my purpose in this world? Our brothers and sisters know with absolute clarity what their purpose is. And we have to try to answer that same question for ourselves. And I would urge you, in your classrooms, you know, each of you, no one has influence in this world like a teacher. No one. When those students go ahead and are in your classroom, you know this, even when you think they're not listening, they're listening. And there's a lot of information that they absorb through osmosis. And there are so many things that you say now that they may look like they're checked out, but one day later on will register in a dramatic way. And I would urge you, go into your classrooms and ask your students. The world has changed. The Jewish people has changed. The state of Israel has changed in an irreversible way. They know their lama. What's yours? And imagine if each of us asked ourselves that question and actually answered it and started living more directed, impactful, meaningful lives. And imagine we forced our students to contemplate that question, even if they don't answer it now. Imagine the new generation that we could raise and the new generation that we could impact. We are living, you know, the word unprecedented times has already been overused during the pandemic. But it's still nevertheless incredibly true. We are living in unprecedented times. And it behooves us to rise to the occasion. We should all be privileged, like our brothers and sisters in Israel, to find our why, to find our lama. We should be privileged that mankind should see the beauty in shalom, should see the beauty in peace. We should be privileged to live in a world where Jewish lives are just as important as the rest of humanity. We should be privileged to live in a world, as the prophet says, Lo yisa goy el goy chareva lo yilmedu ol milchama, that one nation will not lift up a sword against another nation, and the concept of war will become something of our past. We should be privileged to live in a time where the Jewish people know safety, security, and ongoing simcha, and may that day occur speedily in our days. Thank you. Thank you.